This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. Of Antichrist and His Ruin, Part 4, by John Bunyan, of the signs of the approach of the downfall of Antichrist. Having in the foregoing discourse spoken of Antichrist, his ruin, and the manner thereof, I now come to speak of the signs of the approach of her destruction, and whether I shall hit right as to these, that I must leave to time to make manifest, and in the meanwhile to the wise in heart to judge, that she shall fall, there is nothing more certain. And when she is fallen, that she never shall rise again, is also as firmly decreed. Yea, and shewed too by him that cast the millstone into the sea, and said, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. This is therefore her fate and destiny, from the mouth of the Holy One, and is sealed up in the Scriptures of truth, for the comfort of the people that have been afflicted by her. True, the time of her fall is not certainly known by the saints, nor at all believed by her. Wherefore, her plagues must come unlooked for by her, and as to the saints, their guesses, as to the time of her ruin, must needs be conjectural and uncertain. For her part she shall say, and that when she stands where she must suddenly fall, I shall be a lady forever. And as to the saints that would very willingly see her downfall, how often have they been mistaken as to the set time thereof? Nor have I been without thought, but that this mistake of the godly may become a snare to Antichrist and a trap to her upholders. For what can be a greater judgment, or more effectually harden the hearts of the wicked, than for them to behold that the predictions, prophecies, expectation, and hopes of their enemies, as to their ruin, should quite, as to the time, be frustrate and made void. Moses prophesied, and the people hoped that God would give Israel the land of Canaan. And yet the Canaanites beat them. Jeremiah prophesied that the enemy should come and take the city of Jerusalem. But because he came once, and went back without doing it, how stout and hardened were the hearts of that people against all the rest of his prophetic sayings as to such a thing. Now the error lay not in these prophets, but in the people's mistaking the times, and if mistakes do so much harden the heart of the wicked, what will they do to such of them who make it their business to blind and harden their hearts against God by abusing all truths? Surely, when men seek to harden their hearts by abusing of truth, they will do it to purpose. When they have also the advantage of the weakness of their professed enemies to do it by, especially when their enemies shall say they speak by the word of the Lord, and time shall manifest it to be both a mistake and a falsehood, it is to be bewailed, namely, the forwardness of some in this matter, who have predicted concerning the time of the downfall of Antichrist, to the shame of them and their brethren, nor will the wrong that such by their boldness have done to the Church of God, with the Church of God, be ever repaired by them nor their works. But the judgments of God are a great deep, and therefore who can tell, since the enemy of God would not be convinced by the power of truth and the virtuous lives of some, but that God might leave them to be snared, hardened and emboldened to run upon their unavoidable destruction by the lies and likeness of others. They begin to vaunt it already, and to say, Where is the word of the Lord? As to this, let it come now. But when Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past, then was the time for him to be hewn in pieces. I shall not therefore meddle with the times and seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. No, though they as to Antichrist's ruin are revealed, because by the Holy Ghost there is a challenge made, notwithstanding the time is set, and by the word related to the man of wisdom, to find it out if he can. If Samson's riddle was so puzzling, what shall we think of this? And though the angel hath intimated that this sealed matter shall be opened towards the time of the end, yet 'tis evident some have either been so hasty or presumed too much upon their own abilities. For I am sure they have missed the mark, hardened the heart of the enemy, stumbled the weak, and shamed them that loved them. But since the Most High hath irreversibly determined her downfall also, let us see if we can have better success in discoursing upon the signs than others have had who have meddled with the timing thereof. First sign. First, then, the downfall and ruin of Antichrist draws near, when the church and people of God are driven from all those hiding places that God has prepared for them in the wilderness. The church of God, when the dragon did his worst, had an hiding place prepared her of God, that she might not utterly be devoured by him, and so shall have till the time of his end shall come. Of this you read in the 12th of the Revelation, a place worthy to be noted for this. But now, when the time of the ruin of Antichrist draws on, then is the church deprived of her shelter, and laid open, as one would think, to be utterly swallowed up forever, having no more place in the wilderness, that is, among the nations, to hide herself from the face of the serpent. But how comes this to be a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist? Why thus? The time of this beast's war with the church of God, and the time that the church shall have an hiding place in the wilderness, are both of a length, the one continuing 42 months, the other 1,260 days. Now, since the war that this beast makes with the woman and her seed, and the woman's hiding place in the wilderness from his face, are for length of time the same, what hindereth but that when the woman and her seed can find no more shelter in the nations, the time that the beast hath allotted him to make war against her should be finished also? When we therefore shall see that plots and conspiracies, that designs for utter ruin, are laid against God's church all the world over, and that none of the kings, princes, or mighty states of the world will open their doors or give them a city for refuge, then is the ruin of Antichrist at hand. For Haman's plot, though the most universal that ever yet was hatching, being laid in 127 provinces, did but presage the deliverance and exaltation of the Jews, and the hanging of Haman and his sons. Yea, and I take it, that the very day that this great enemy had set for the utter overthrow of the church, God made the day in which their deliverance began, and that from whence it was completed. And I take that to be a type of this. There is but one thing that I can think of that can give matter of a shoe of doubt about this thing, and that is, though the time of this war against the saints and that of the woman's shelter in the wilderness as to length be one and the same, yet whether they did commence together and begin to take their rise, as men do that begin to run a race. A word, therefore, to this. I suppose they did commence much together, for else with whom should this beast make war, and how should the church escape? Or if the beast began his war before the woman began to have a hiding place, why was she not swallowed up, since in the wilderness was her only place of shelter? Again, what needed the woman to have a place of shelter in the wilderness, when there was no war made against her? And yet this must be, if her 1,260 days began before the beast's 42 months, but they ended both together. For the beast could not kill the witnesses before they had finished their testimony, which testimony of theirs lasted this full time that the beast had granted him to make war with them, to wit, 1,260 days. Therefore their times went out together, as will be made appear, if you consider also that the witnesses were slain by virtue not of the old, but of a new war levied against them, and that, as it should seem, at the very time when her hiding place was taken from her. For then indeed, for a little season, Will the church of God be overcome, as I shall show by and by? Wherefore, let God's people consider and remember that when God's church is absolutely forlorn and has no hiding place any longer in the world, the kingdom of Antichrist will quickly begin to tumble. Nor is this the alone place from whence we may gather these conclusions. The time of Pharaoh's tyranny, of his life, and of the deliverance of the children of Israel came out much together, as any will discern that shall consider the history of them. David, when Saul did sorely prosecute him, fled last into the wilderness to Achish the king of Gath, a Philistine, for shelter. And he gave him Ziklag for his refuge, and that place so continued to David till just about the time in which Saul must die. And then, behold, David's Ziklag is burnt with fire, and himself stripped naked of harbor. But what matter? The time of Saul's life, as well as of David's Ziklag, was now upon expiring. For within 3 or 4 days after, David became the king of Israel, and thus also it was with the Babel beast. His time expired. When the captivity of Israel was upon the finishing, then was the time of his land come, and in that very night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Thus, therefore, it will happen to the church in the latter days, her place of shelter in the wilderness. Her Ziklag will be taken from her, about the time that the war that the beast has to make upon the woman and her seed shall be finished. But now the church is not therefore immediately delivered, when her Ziklag is taken from her. For after that, the beast levieth a new war, to the overcoming and killing of the church. I say, therefore, that this is a sign not of the downfall of Antichrist, but of the approach thereof. For the church's bondage shall continue but 3 days, and a little after this shall be her deliverance. Much like to this was that of David, for after he had lost his Ziklag, for 2 or 3 days he had sore distress. But lo, then came the kingdom to him. Indeed, sense and reason saith, it is a fearful thing for the church of God to be exposed to the rage of her enemy all over the world at once, and that all nations should shut up their gates, let down their portcullises, bolt up their doors, and set open their floodgates to destroy them. But so will be the dispensation of God. To the end, deliverance may be the sweeter, and the enemy's fall the more headlong, and the arm of God the more manifest, both for the one and against the other. And in this will that Scripture be fulfilled, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the books. Let us gather up what has been said again, namely, that it is a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist, when God's church can find no more shelter in the wilderness. Because when her Ziklag is burned, the time of the war that the beast is to make against her is finished. Wherefore, when she hath given one desperate struggle more, and laid the church of God or his witnesses for dead, in the street of his great city, for 3 days and a half, then comes the kingdom, and the long, long looked for rest and glory. Wherefore it remains that an angel should stand in the sun and make proclamation to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven to gather themselves together to the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. This is to be after the 42 months of the beast, and consequently after the 1,260 days that the church was to be in sackcloth, yea, after the resurrection of the witnesses, as is evident by that which follows, and the beast was taken, that is, after the 2nd year, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Second sign. Secondly, Another sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist is this. Towards the end of her reign, the nations will be made to see her baseness and to abhor her and her ways. They will, I say, be made to see these things in order to her ruin. Also, when they shall be made to see, her ruin will not be far off. For so long as the nations and their rulers shall continue in that dead sleep that she hath bewitched them into by their drinking of the wine of her fornication, so long we have no ground to think that her ruin is at the door. But when God shall lay her before kings and shall discover her nakedness to the nations, then be sure her destruction is at hand. Hence you read that precedent to her downfall, an angel comes down from heaven and enlightens the earth with his glory. The earth, that is, the kingdoms, countries, and nations where the woman sitteth, or they that border thereupon, enlightened, to let them see the filthiness of the whore, with his glory, with the doctrine that he had commissioned to preach against her, for the discovering of her lewdness to the earth. This also was the way that God took with backsliding Israel of old, and she was a type of our religious Babel, when he intended to bring her to judgment for her sins. And this is the way that God will take to destroy our religious Antichrist, when he comes to deliver his people out of her hand. For though the people that suffer at her hand can do nothing against her, but lay in prayers and tears against her before the God of heaven, and bear their witness against her before the gods of the earth, yet when kings shall come to be concerned, and they will count themselves concerned when they shall see how they have been deceived by her, then let her look to it. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And what follows? And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Wherefore, there wants nothing but that she be discovered to the nations and their kings. For did they but see her, though they lay yet in her bosom, they would rise up against her, that she must die. Wherefore it is written again, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. The chief of the wisdom of Antichrist this day is laid out, if perhaps by it she may cover her nakedness and keep it from the eyes of kings and their people. But God has said, it shall not avail. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. But how will he make her naked? Verily by kings. But how shall kings do it? Why, by virtue of the glory of the angel, yea, they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Let this, I pray, be considered, that Antichrist shall not down, but by the hand of kings. The preacher then kills her soul, and the king kills her body. And why should not the kings have it granted unto them, that she should fall by their hand? The kings are those that she has abused, that she has in the grossest manner abused, and has served herself of them. But the time of the end of Antichrist, Mystery Babylon, is coming, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him, nor shall all the tricks, lies, and deceit under which formerly she used to shroud herself be able to prove a balm to her any longer. No, in vain shalt thou use many medicines, for no cure shall be unto thee. The nations have heard of thy shame. Babylon has for a long time been a lady of kingdoms, and a golden cup in the Lord's hand. The nations also have largely drank of her cup, and the kings have committed fornication with her. But now the angel is come down, and hath enlightened the earth with his glory. Wherefore now it follows immediately, Babylon is fallen, that is, in the eyes and esteem of the nations, as well as otherwise. True, some of the kings will bewail her fall, and will cry, Alas, alas, when they see that they cannot help her. For that they shall see, as is evident, because they stand afar off to lament her, afar off for the fear of her torment. The kings therefore into whose hands God shall deliver her, and who shall execute his judgments upon her, shall be more mighty and powerful to bring her down, than shall be the whole world besides to uphold her. The Protestant kings, and this observe further, that as the kings that shall hate her because in the light of the glory of the angel, they are made able to see her filthiness. So the kings that shall bewail her are such as in judgment are left in the dark, and that shall be bewitched by her to the end. This therefore will let us see something of the meaning of God, in that he has drawn off from her some of the kings already. To wit, that he might train them up by the light of the gospel, that they may be expert, like men of war, to scale her walls, when the King of Kings shall give out the commandment to them so to do. There has been a great deal of talk in the countries about the ruin and destruction of Babylon. But could we see more of the kings engaged against her, we should hope groundedly that her fall was at the door. Well, blessed be God for what kings there are, and the Lord turned the hearts of many more to hate her. Some, as I said before, have adventured to foretell the time of her downfall. But give me the signs thereof. This, therefore, is a sign that her downfall approaches when God shall lay her nakedness before the nations and put it into the hearts of kings to abhor her. The signs of the times the Lord Jesus would have us mind, and because the Jews neglected them, though as to the time they hit pretty right, yet they missed of the thing that the time brought forth. A third sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist is this, when Babylon is become the habitation of devils, etc., then the downfall thereof is upon us. True, Babylon was always an habitation for devils, but not an habitation only for them. Israel once dwelt there, and our Antichrist was sometimes a place of residence for good men. The meaning, then, is when you shall see the church and people of God so forsake her that she is left in a manner to herself and to her disciples, then she is to fall quickly. When you hear it proclaimed by them that are yet in her of God's people, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country. Then she will soon be hissed out of the world. For this is the way of the wisdom of God, namely, to bring his people out of a city or place when he intends the ruin of that place. When God was about to destroy the old world, he put his Noah into an ark. When God was about to destroy Sodom, he sent his Lot away thence to Zoar. When Christ was about to destroy Jerusalem, he bid his disciples flee from the midst of that. And when there shall be by God a hissing for his people, and when they shall hear him and obey and gather to him, then you shall see what will become of this enemy of Christ. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. I say therefore, when Babylon shall become the habitation of devils, a hold for all foul spirits, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird, then Babylon is fallen. And thus the angel that lightened the earth with his glory proclaimed, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and a hole for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Wherefore it must be that by that her time is come that she should fall, God will have gleaned his people from the midst of her. And when God shall have gleaned his people from the midst of her, those that are left behind will appear more than ever to be what they are, to wit, devils, foul spirits, and hateful birds. Wherefore, now will Antichrist appear in his own most proper colors. But to comment a little upon the words, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, the anti-Christian church, is fallen, in the eyes and faith of the godly, by her dropping into the dregs of degeneracy, and so is become the habitation of devils, etc., in order to her falling into utter and unavoidable destruction forever, is become, that is, through the labor of the fanners and winnowers that God hath sent to fan Babylon, and to fetch out his people, that she might be left to her chaff. I will send, saith God, to Babylon fanners, that shall fan her, and shall empty her land of good men. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about, an habitation of devils, not such by nature, but by practice, incarnate devils. For when the time is come that Babylon must be destroyed, she shall be found to be an habitation for the most vile of the sons of men. For as devils have acted towards the world, so shall the sons of this sorceress and this whore act towards Christ and his members in the latter days. And perhaps the departing of Zion from the midst of her will blow her up into this spirit of devilism. Let God's people, therefore, when Antichrist is towards her end, look for nothing from her, but what the devil in times past used to do, to wit, all sinful subtlety, malice, wrath, fraud, deceit, lying, murder, false accusings, and implacable madness of spirit to do them mischief. But, Lord God, think I what will become of good men, and where will they be safe in such days? Only I comfort myself by saying to myself again, this a sign that the ruin of Antichrist is at the door. But this I say, he must needs be a tunable man, that shall be able in those days to sing this song to himself at all seasons, for this is to drive reason backward, and to set the cart before the horse. For what will the good man's reason say, when it seeth all Babylonians are become devils, but that the church of God will certainly be torn in pieces? But behold, the text and the Holy Ghost runs counter. Babylon is fallen, and or, for it is become the habitation of devils. These words for certain are the words of an holy angel, for it could not have entered into the heart of mere man to have conceived them. An habitation, to be an habitation for devils is to be their house, their dwelling place, their place of privilege, their place of rest and abode, or thither whither they have right to go. And thus will Babylon be, that is, an house, an habitation, a dwelling place, and a place of rest, only for devilish-minded men. Thither may such men come, for such her doors stand open, and there may such inhabit. When therefore you see good men come out thence, and all sorts of wicked men flock in thither, then know that Babylon is near her end. And a hole for every foul spirit. Understand by spirit either those that are devils by nature, or such as are such otherwise. But I think that the angel chiefly intends all manner of unclean and filthy spirits. And so the church and members of Babylon, their only place of safety, or if you understand it of the uncleanness of the spirits and minds of men, then the meaning is that they are called foul spirits, in allusion to those of devils which go by the same name. But however or which way soever taken, it seems Babylon is their hold, that is, their place of defense. For by an hold we often understand a place of strength, a castle, a fort, a tower, so that these devils, these foul-spirited men, these Babylonians, will not only find house, room, and harbor in Babel, but shelter, defense, and protection, when she is near her ruin. Yea, they will find her an upholder to them, and a countenancer of them, in all their foul and devilish pranks. Yea, such an hold shall she be to such foul spirits in such foul acts, that it shall not be possible that they should be driven from her, or from them, For an hold is often taken in the Scriptures for a place that is impregnable and must be so taken here. This intimates, then, that some faint opposition by the kings and nations will be made against these inhabitants, foul spirits, but to little purpose until the time of her land shall come. For in their hold they still will be secured and defended from what reason law and Scripture can or would do unto them. Thus then we see how Babel, towards her end, will be filled, and with what, to wit, with devils and foul spirits. Yea, and that she will not only be an habitation, but a place of defense for such, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Those that before are called devils and foul spirits are also here called birds, unclean and hateful beasts. He may allude to that of the prophet Isaiah, where these unclean birds are mentioned. And by cage, he may allude to the prophet Jeremiah, from whom, as I think, the Holy Ghost takes those words. But then we must put men in the place of birds, and the Babylonian kingdom for the cage. Every unclean bird, as was said before, a hold for every foul spirit. These unclean birds, therefore, are not all of one feather or kind, but of all and every kind. And it intimates that the worst act of all professions shall be, as in a cage, in Babylon, a little before her downfall. But I say, if they will not be all of one feather, yet in their temper they will somewhat agree, being either in shape, monstrous, of appetite, ravenous, or of inclination, lovers of the night. For of all these sorts were the forbidden or unclean birds among the Jews. Now since these unclean birds are not all of one feather or kind, it intimates that the basest of all sorts, sects, professions, and degrees shall take shelter in Babylon towards her end, and that they shall there, in their temper, unanimously agree to show themselves monstrous, to devour and eat up the poor and needy, and to blow out the light of the gospel. A cage, not to imprison them in, but for them to sit and sing in, to confer their notes in, to make melodious music in. I mean melodious to their own thinking, for the ass thinks that he sings full favoredly, and the owl endeavors to lift up her voice above all the birds of the wood, but it will be a prediction of her fall, and that her ruin is at the door. Of these birds Zephaniah speaks, when he prophesies of the downfall of Nineveh, saying, "The cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the uppermost lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows, when desolation shall be in the thresholds. An unseasonable time to sing in, for when death is coming in at the door, mourning should be in the chambers. But this is the judgment of God, that she should be a cage for every unclean bird to sing in, even then when her destruction and desolation cometh upon her." To sing, as in a cage, doth also denote security, and that the heart is far from fear. For she saith, "I shall see no sorrow in that hour in which her judgment comes." But is this a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist? And must those that shall live to see those days rejoice when these things begin to come to pass? Are not these things rather a sign that the utter overthrow of the Church of God is at the door? Indeed, to sense it is, and reason will be apt to say so. But hark what the Holy Ghost saith! She is fallen now, when therefore we shall see men like devils. Yea, every foul spirit and hateful bird, flock to, and take shelter in Babylon. Let us not be frighted or dejected, but pluck up our hearts and say, "This is one of the signs that the downfall of Babylon is near." Wherefore it follows, after that the prophet had told us that these birds should dwell in the land of the people of God's curse, that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, for that they are there, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. it shall blossom, saith he, abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God. And to support the weak from those fears that in those days will be pulling of them down, he adds, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What say ye now, ye sons of God? Will you learn to make a judgment of things according to the mystery of the wisdom of God? Or will ye longer conclude according to sense and reason? He turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and commands oft times that the fairest day should succeed the foulest night. Wherefore, when we see these devils, foul spirits, and unclean birds in Babylon, yea, when we see good men leave her, and the vilest run into her, then let us sing the angel's song, and say, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and a hole for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird.